have at the 20th chapter, and I just want to look at the first through the sixth verses, almost an interlude, if you will, a transition between his time in Ephesus and then on his way down Jerusalem, ultimately to deliver the offering that he had requested of some of the churches which were able to participate in, delivering the offering to the Jerusalem church because of its dire straits from famine in that land of Palestine and pestilence, which of course follows upon famine. And so, as the scripture reads, when the uproar had ended, now this was the riot that occurred in the theater of Ephesus. You might recall that was a really big theater. It held over 25,000 people, and they all had gathered together basically with sticks and stones, literally to break his bones and those who were with them. And he, after the uproar had ended, Paul, who had been held back from going into the theater, held back by, in fact, some important leaders, almost like what you might call city council members, held back from going in. They said, hey, you're crazy if you go in there, basically. Just stay put here. And so Paul sent for the disciples. And after encouraging, now these were the disciples, not directly of Jesus. These were people who had heard the word and responded to the gospel. They were, in other words, people who were joining with, you know, Paul and the ministry of the Church of Jesus Christ. We are all disciples as a part of that ministry. I liked a church that I looked at their bulletin once, and it had, as I was on vacation, and it had at the top of it, ministers, everyone here. We're all ministers of the gospel. It's not just a guy in the robe, in other words. It's every Christian. Every one of us is a disciple as well. Disciple simply comes from the word meaning a learner. And we're all learning. We're all on that journey together of learning what it is to be a Christian. That's why that song, the old Negro spiritual about, Lord, I want to be a Christian. And it has then these several verses. But the important thing is I want to be. Not that I already have made it. But I want to be. So Paul, sending for these disciples, and after encouraging them, said goodbye and set out for Macedonia. Macedonia just to the north. He traveled through that area, speaking many words of encouragement. There it is again. So I want you to pay attention to that word, encouragement. Encouraging. Speaking many words of encouragement to the people. Finally arrived in the south to Greece, where he stayed 3 months. This is about a year at least, if not a year and a quarter, in the life of Paul's. So this covers a span of time that Paul was spending in this journey around. You know, he spent, it says, at least 3 years in Ephesus itself. So here he's spending another, a fourth, if not a fourth, and roughly a half year on his way to Jerusalem, encouraging the people. Because the Jews, as it continues, made a plot against him, now this would have been the Jewish leaders of the various synagogues of the towns through which he went, the Jews made a plot against him just as he was about to sail for Syria. Syria, you know, is that province of Rome, which is sort of at the elbow, if you will, of Palestine on the one hand, where Lebanon and Syria are today, and where Turkey is. And in the very crook of the elbow is the great city of Antioch. Antioch was both the sending church and the receiving church for Paul, and one of his companions, as we heard of earlier, was Barnabas. So Paul and Barnabas both were sent from Antioch to the various places to which they went. And here he was trying to return before going on down to Jerusalem itself, the very, if you will, the capital of Christianity, almost as we think of it today. But he found out that there was a plot against him. Now, it was likely that he was going to go by boat to this Antioch. But finding out that this plot was against him, what do you think would have happened to him if he had gone on a boat? There would have been pilgrims also, Jewish pilgrims, who were on their way to Jerusalem as well, because as we'll see, this was the time of the Passover, and they also were trying to get to Jerusalem. Well, if there was a plot against him, what's the most likely plot that would have been set? He would have been thrown out of the boat, right, into the sea, and the rest of his ministry would have been very foreshortened. So instead, Paul decides to go on foot around the way to Jerusalem. And he's traveling there on foot, accompanied by, as it says, Sopater, who is also known as Sosipater in one of Paul's letters. Sopater, son of Paris, from Berea. Aristarchus, whom we've already heard about and we'll hear from a little bit later. And Secundus from Thessalonica. Thessalonica, of course, being one of the towns of which he wrote a letter. It's there in Macedonia, the northern part of what we would call, let me see, today, the Balkans. I don't know how many of you might have smoked a pipe, but when I was a wayward youth, let's say, I had a pipe that I liked to smoke, this particular tobacco that I found in England, actually. It was an English tobacco called Balkan Sobriety. I only got it because I liked the picture on it. I'll tell you, smoking a pipe to me right now is like making an army mark my mouth. But at any rate, so the Balkans are the region in which Macedonia lay. And in the Balkans were the towns of Berea, which we've heard from, also Thessalonica, and also we'll hear Philippi. Paul's letter to the Philippians was as well in Macedonia. Then there's a guy by the name of Gaius from Derbe. Now, there's several Gaiuses, so we don't know exactly which Gaius is referred to here. But Derbe is just to the central portion of Turkey, modern Turkey. And nearby it was a town from which Timothy came. So it says, Timothy also. By this time, Timothy was probably a very close consort to Paul. May have even been what you might call his secretary. You know, there's 1 and 2 Timothy as letters in the Bible. As well as also Tychicus and Trophimus from the province of Asia. In Asia, the province of Asia, the capital city was none the less than Ephesus itself. And we'll hear again shortly from Ephesus, Paul's time in Ephesus. These men went on ahead, waited for us, For the first time, we find the word us being used. Luke, you know, wrote Acts as well as the gospel that goes by his name. As he says in his gospel beginning, I want to set down an accurate record for you, O Theophilus, of those things that have happened. And so this is where we find that Luke must have been accompanying Paul along the way in this journey. These men went on ahead and waited for us at Troas. But we sailed from Philippi after the feast of unleavened bread. That would be the first day of Passover. And 5 days later, joined the others at Troas, where we stayed 7 days. You know, many have seen in this little incident echoes of the life of Jesus that Luke is trying to make us think about with Paul. That Paul is, in some sense, repeating the same trajectory. You know, he'll die in Rome. Peter was asked that he be crucified upside down so that he might not die in the same fashion as Jesus, his Lord, as our Lord. Paul is on a trajectory toward that end as well, his death. We find here, just as Jesus shared a Last Supper at the Passover with his disciples, that Paul is with his disciples in Philippi, and then joined the others in the town of Troas. You've got a friend in me. You ever hear that song? Do you have it popped up there? Let's listen to its beginning.
You've got a friend in me. When the road looks rough ahead and you're miles and miles from your nice warm bed, you just remember what your past. Or you got a friend in me.
That's enough.
Yeah, you.
All right, where's that from? Where'd you hear that? Toy Story. Toy Story. But you know, I think that that's something that we can hang on to today, too. We've had a baptism, and we're a friend of Shay's. Paul had this bunch who were with him in his travels. They were his friends. And our church is meant to be a gathering of friends because we're friends of Christ. You know, Jesus said at the Last Supper, I no longer call you my students or you no longer call me master even, he said. I call you friends. And you are my friends if I command you. And what was it commanded us? But to love one another just as he love us unto the very end. That's what's great to me about the church. Forgive me, though I've told the story before, but we have some maybe haven't heard it, but when I became a Christian, I grew up in Pennsylvania here over in a small church up along the South Mountain. But I thought the people there maybe had to love me because my parents, you know, went to the church, and so they had to love me. I came along with the package. It wasn't until I went out to Oregon to work on road that I discovered by a family that took me in, not knowing me from Adam, that the language of love and the love of Christ in particular is not just rhetoric. It has teeth. It has grit. Bonnie and Jim, they took me into their home. I shot my first deer with Jim. I went camping with them. I went goose hunting with them, with Jim, not Bonnie. But, you know, they blessed me. And I'll never forget them. And that's what Paul and the rest of his disciples that he calls these, they're his friends. And the one word that sticks out to me is that which is here, and is that he encouraged them. In the first verse, the second verse, he says that he spoke many words of encouragement to the people. That's the blessing that we have together, is to encourage one another. We're not meant to be the sharpest stick in the pile. No, that's not what it's about. We're meant to love like Jesus loved. And that's really it. To encourage each other along the way. And sometimes that can be a difficult way. You know, when you lose a part of your family that's dearly beloved. Or when you walk through a time that may end a relationship that was dear to you. You need someone around you to be your friend, to lift you up. We all need that. When the thorn in the flesh that we all, in some way or other, bear, when that fall from the doctor says, I got to tell you, you have cancer. We need someone to encourage us. And I'll tell you, I don't know about you, but I've spent my time in bars. But it's only in the church that I've found a true friend. Because they know the love of Christ is not just rhetoric. It's real. You, brothers and sisters, are like Paul, the sons and daughters of encouragement for each other. Professor at the seminary I attended, I didn't sit under him, but he said, let me sum up everything about encouragement with a story. Benjamin West, famous painter, tells how he loved to paint as a youngster. When his mother left one day, he would pull out the oils and try to paint. One day he pulled out all the paints and made a humongous mess. Any of your kids do something like that? Mine did. He hoped to get it all cleaned up before his mother came back. But she came home before everything was clean. West said, what she did next completely surprised him. She picked up his painting and said, "My, what a beautiful painting of your sister." She gave him a cheek and walked away. And with that kiss, he said, he became a painter. Every day, we are painting a picture of Christ. Let it be beautiful. Amen.